Hello. Good morning. Welcome to the teleconference earnings call of the second quarter of 2021 of Rendo San Luis. We have here with us today, Paulo Moll, President, Otavio Lasca, VP of RI and Finance, Maurizio Lopez, VP Executive, and Leandro, VP Medical. Informed that this event is going to be recorded and will be available at your website. After the initial presentation, we will start with the Q&A, where additional instructions will be provided. Before we proceed, we would like to clarify that anything that may or may not be said during the teleconference about the perspectives of business projections, operational goals, financial goals, are beliefs of the board of directors, based on information that is currently available. This does not guarantee performance and involves risks and circumstances that may or may not occur. The investors must understand that general economic issues, industry, and other operational issues may affect the performance of the company. It may lead to results that are different from the future considerations. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Paulo Moll. He will start. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. The floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your opportunity, for this opportunity to show you the conference call, the earnings call. And before we present the great results, I wanted to update you on the evolution on a few strategic issues. Let's start by our digital platform. It has been an important source for capturing our business, responsible for a third of our appointments. We've done 13 million accesses on the portal, again, if you compare it to 5 million in the same period of 2020. According to this platform, we delivered all the data on the patients. We focus in prevention and coordination of service, increasing the, well, how much the patients use our services. And also we are going through a sustainability issue here in the healthcare sector, but we are moving on. We have a very important relevant strategy. We have surgeries of high complexity, and we do the share of the complex surgeries that has increased quarter by quarter, and we can see a very good performance. And we've done our investment in infrastructure, HR, equipment, offering to our physicians and our patients the best structure possible for these complex procedures. In our growth agenda, we've had over the first 6 months of 2021, a CapEx that was record 3.1 billion reais organic, 43 organic projects in development. Some are in advanced stage, such as Maternidade de São Luis Star, that will be done by the end of the year. We have the new tower of the Hospital Vila Nova Star. We have the increase of the Northeast as well region. We are in the advanced building of Hospital Memorial Star in Recife. And in Salvador, we are expanding the San Rafael. And we have investments in these 6 months of 610 million reais. M&A. We've had a lot of investments, 2.3 billion in investments in reais up until the first quarter of 2021. Since October 2020, we've acquired 12 hospitals and we added 1,637 beds. This has strengthened our position in Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo, with the acquisitions of several hospitals. And we have a very good strategy to diversify our geographic positioning, accessing new markets, very interesting markets. So here, I would compare that in the same way that we're accessing Bahia's market in 2018, acquiring the first hospital. Today, we have three hospitals in Salvador, and Feira de Santana, and recently, we have the hospital in Feira de Santana, which is the biggest city in the north, northeast, and center east, center west, actually. We have over 1,600,000 beneficiaries. And we're accessing this market, this platform, to achieve an opportunity of organic growth. And we will be able to implement in Minas Gerais, 5.3 million people being benefited through the acquisition of Biocor, a hospital with 350 beds. We also have the state of Paraíba. We bought the company that was the lead in the market, 400,000 beneficiaries in Nossa Senhora das Neves, that's the hospital that we bought. Also, Proncor in Mato Grosso do Sul, 136 beds, 600,000 beneficiaries. And this is an opportunity to really open new frontiers, trying to achieve leadership in these states. I think that it's fundamental for our strategy to rise the standards of care, aligned with our purpose of increasing access to medicine, good quality, high medicine here in the country. We've already mentioned in the last call the expansion of our relationship with adding 21 new hospitals, over 1,300,000 beneficiaries from the operator. In July, we have a partnership with Vale to the management of two hospitals in the state of Paraca in Carajás to increase the services. But through a joint venture as well, we are positioning ourselves in the city of Paraupebas, either by building a hospital or an M&A that might service the region. That's the strategic vision, really. Very relevant issue. And we hope that we can repeat this in the future. Now, let me update you about the COVID-19 pandemic. We had an expressive reduction of admitted to the ICU patients. We had, at the end of July, 800 patients in comparison to over 3,000 patients before. Regardless of that, we have a high occupancy rate and a growth of service to the other pathologies in a way that we can sustain the occupancy rates that are very high. And this is interesting to deliver our results. I would like to highlight that we've gone over the threshold of 300 million reais in donations, and we raised over 100 million with partners. We are very proud. We take a lot of pride in helping the local population. Once again, I would like to thank you all the collaborators of Revidor, or of all of our employees. And also, I would like to thank the shareholders. Thank you for the trust that was invested over the years. Now I give the floor to Otavio. He's going to go over the numbers. Otavio. Thank you, Paulo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking part in this earnings call. Once again, Revidor is announcing very solid results and some records, historical numbers, established by the company in the last quarter. Revidor has reported almost 50 billion in assets, 14.6 billion of cash flow immediately available. A patrimony net that shows the muscle, financial muscle, to continue to grow. Now, if you go to page 4, regardless of the drop in 54% in the number of COVID-19 patients, we can see between March and June, the number of patients has grown. The patient daily average has grown 4.3%, and ex-COVID increased 12% quarter by quarter. The next page. As you can see, we have the operational indicators, evolution of total surgeries. We also see the diagnostical sales. You can see that actively we have all the operational costs for surgeries, and therefore we can have a high occupancy rate on based on an enormous amount of beds, operational beds. This is a record number of surgeries and a growth of 6.6% in the same hospital sales base quarter by quarter. Page six. We have the data in regards to the oncology volume of procedures and patient day volume and average occupancy rate. On the graph on the left, year on year, we have 628,000 patients day in the second quarter for 2021, a record 62% higher than the previous year. Average occupancy rate for a set of 58 hospitals has gotten to 83%. On the right, you can see the data regarding ambulatory oncology. Over 52,000 procedures, another record. 21.3% higher than the same period in 2020. Page 7. We can see the hospital bed evolution. We've talked about that, the operational and total beds. 1,500 operational beds were added, actually 1,578, since the start of the pandemic. 8,788 operational beds are for the second quarter of 2021, another record, 597 beds higher than what was reported in the previous quarter. And we can see 532 that come from M&A. We have 9,611 total beds. That's a record. 1,500 from M&A by 12 hospitals that were added to the portfolio since the IPO. Moving on. Take a look at the gross revenues. Total gross revenues on the left. You can see $5.8 billion in the second quarter, 10.7% higher than the first quarter of 21. And you can see almost 89% higher than the second quarter of 2020, another record. Quarter-on-quarter growth of 63.4%. Let's continue on the right. The gross revenues for oncology infusions or ambulatory. We can see 445 million reais. Second quarter, 34% higher than the second quarter 20. Another record on quarter by quarter, the growth is 30.5%. In the first 6 months, gross revenue, oncology, infusions, ambulatory has reached the landmark 852 million reais. If you take a look at page 9, on your left, where the DOR has reported in the second quarter of 21, the cost of services, 3,918 million, a growth of 37.6%. And we have the total revenue and a growth of 42.6% in comparison to the 6 months of 20, when we reported the cost of 2,741,000 reais. And we have the services for subcontracted parties that has been related to the patient base and the additional beds over 1,800. And those are the impacts in the second quarter of 21 to 2020 and the oncology expansion as well. Now, semester on semester, the cost for administrative and general costs, there was a decrease of 10%. You can see the decrease here on your right in expenses. As we have mentioned, the expenses of 258 million reais of 21 a growth of 16% in regards to the previous quarter, and a reduction of 32% facing the same period of the previous year. The growth of impact in the comparison to the previous quarter is the impact of non-recurring stock options, the high expenses with profit sharing, the collective bargaining agreements that we're mentioning, and the acquisition. So the reduction in regards to the previous year, we have less expenses with the stock options and more expenses for the profit sharing for the workers. And those are the provision values. Let's see page 10. We will start on the left. The EBITDA, 2,379,000,000 for the first quarter of 21, margin of almost 24%, a record, as well as the EBITDA adjusted. Reported for the second quarter of 21, 1,565,000,000, a growth of 607% in regards to the previous quarter. Operational cash flow adjusted, and here we can see the generation of 887 million reais. So, over 500 million reais after taxes. In net revenue, 447 million reais. Now to continue, let's talk about the debt profile on the left. As of June 30th, we have a gross debt of 22 million reais. The gross debt average CDI 1.3%. Gross debt average term 5.7 years. A percentage of the foreign currency debt is subcontracted. We have 37.6%. We can see the credit lines. Many companies are affected by the exchange rates. The company, as it was mentioned, has reported a cash of 14.6 billion reais. We have a net debt of 7 billion reais. The net debt over the debt over the 12 months, 1.7 times. The same calculation relates to, well, if you reduce it, it will be 1.4 times. We can see the gross debt per index, and you can see on the right the debt amortization schedule. Last but not least, before we open for Q&A, on the left, we have the performance of our shares in connection to the index of the stock exchange after the IPO. On the right, we have a few more information in regards to the treasury, the average daily traded volume, etc. I think that we will stop the presentation now for the benefit of time, and then we will open for Q&A. Thank you. Let's start the Q&A. To ask your question, type *9 in your telephone. We have a few questions. Joseph from JP Morgan, the floor is yours. Good morning. Congratulations for the presentation. So let's talk about the trend that seems very good ex-COVID. To try and understand the average ticket, the numbers, maybe it will grow in this last quarter. Do you see any accommodation in regards to the average ticket? And we have to see the profitability rates. We have seen that after there was a drop in the COVID-19 patients, now from now on, I think that we're going to get better numbers. The M&A is favorable. And I think that the issue of M&A seems to be very low. Will you continue to to do this geographical expansion? Well, let me start with the M&As, and then I will give the floor to Otavio. And then he can continue with your questions. We are very excited with our pipeline for M&A. And we've been talking about this in our IPO. So I think that this is maybe, even if we consider the effect of COVID-19 in some of the average size hospitals are having more difficulties in their books, it has an impact in the PARPA, in the pipeline. And there's even the issues of expectations. We have an accommodation and a gradual return to levels that are according to the records. And we're very excited, nonetheless, with the size of our pipeline. We hope that we have good news for the next following quarters. So, we don't guide tickets quarter by quarter to the market, but if you allow me, we believe that as we manage actively the surgeries and we use the operational cash flow of the company, this will compensate the drop in the revenue that comes from the COVID-19 patients. As Paulo had said at the beginning of the presentation, there's a trend in drop of these patients. We are here in August, and the company will report the operational beds, which is very similar to the occupancy rate that was reported for the period of June. So I think that in that way, I'm answering your question without trying to compromise the company with KPIs or guidance. It all depends on the way that you're working with these numbers. Thank you. Very well. Next question will be from Fred Mendes, Bank of America. The floor is yours. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have a few questions. I think that the next question is just like the one from Joseph. The occupancy rate is the same one as 2019 now, above 80%. So I wanted to understand from your standpoint, how much of it is it sustainable? Can we think that the growth is stronger? Can you think about that level that is stronger up ahead? And secondly, I wanted to understand if there was an impact rather than impact, or maybe these are more recent data, the biggest impact should take place over the next quarter. What do you think? Hello, Fred. I'm going to start with your second part, and then I will talk about the occupancy. We're having to wrap up. It's within our ear. It's what's expected. Of course, you have an impact for some relevance over the next few months, but it's beyond the potential. There is a time for the physicians and the population. So we hope that this is a process that will take a few quarters so we can get to the potential. And remember, as we have said in other calls, earnings calls, this is the first step. And we have to have expectations of increasing our relationship with our investors. Fred, hi. Congratulations for your career. I know that this is another interesting step for you. No, Fred, occupancy 83% is not a record. In 2018, we had an occupancy rate. I don't remember the number, but it was higher. But here, we talk about the business model that we have. Yeah, DO. So the occupancy rate, 79%. All throughout the investments of the company. I believe that this is a good information for you and the correct way of answering your question. Now, Fred, if you look at page 5, the graph on the right, we can see the total surgeries, the same base. And here, historically, we can accelerate and recover some movement for surgeries with the same administrative base. So as Paula had said, I am very excited with the results, and we are excited for the future. I think that we will have a good occupancy rate, and we will have the long-term results. Thank you, Paula. Thank you. Well, thank you. The next question will be from Samuel Alves from BTG Pactual. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions for you. First, still about occupancy rate, could you tell us how was the occupancy rate on the second quarter? Did we improve or did we optimize this as the COVID-19 cases dropped in your network? And now, we saw that there was an acceleration quarter by quarter regarding COVID. If you can tell us a little bit more details, expenses with COVID that are being adjusted, the results, just so we can understand this evolution quarter by quarter. Samuel, the occupancy rate all throughout the quarter was stable. We had great fluctuations. And we have 58 hospitals, of course. Now, in regards to your question, non-recurring COVID-19 and the peak of the second wave was manifested in the first quarter. And obviously, we have resources, we have expenses, and we had to mobilize all throughout the second quarter as the number of cases is increasing. So that's the response. Thank you. Thank you. Well, next question will be from Mauricio from Credit Suisse. Mauricio. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your availability. I have a few questions. And I would like to go back to a few points that the colleagues have mentioned. And we've had many conversations. The selection processes, they're not affected by the COVID. But you can see that COVID it even became a problem for the elective procedures. So I wanted to know how much the occupancy does it take away from the occupancy of the rates, the COVID versus the other one. And let's see this from a different angle. You have those expense courses and the adjustment of the EBITDA. This doesn't impact the revenue. So how much do you estimate COVID and how much has it helped the revenue? Third quarter, variable payout. And you see the number that is still interesting because of the different action plans. What should we expect as a normal threshold for the recovery? So when things are becoming recurrent, and the last one, Well, since you're getting into the volume of complex surgeries, will you talk about this volume so that it becomes a proxy that is better for you? What is your help? Let's start with the first part of your question about the COVID-19 and demand and the elective surgeries. It's important to talk about this. We had a behavior at the beginning of the pandemic where we had a drop, expressive drop of the elective services to all pathologies without necessarily having a growth of COVID-19 in other hospitals. So actually, the occupancy rates are low. And that has had a very high effect in the results of the second quarter of 2019. After the second quarter of last year, we see a normality, a growth in the electives. We understand that the flows are segregated. Of course, they were safe. So we go back to normality in the occupancy of the hospitals. Of course, if you see a moment such as March of last year, where we had over 3,000 patients admitted to the hospital simultaneously, then we have to see the less complexity surgeries, and we see the other non-emergency pathologies. We delay these. So we would have the human resources to actually service our patients and for the other surgeries and pathologies that couldn't have their treatment delayed. That's why we see an expressive drop in the elective surgeries. Now, as you have a drop, and this is what we observed from April, week by week, we had a drop in the number of COVID-19 patients. We start to create an increase. We see an increase in the service of other pathologies, and we can do that with a lot of competency. And we manage to do the reduction of COVID and the increase of other services in an organized way, keeping high occupancy rates. And we have clarified that part. And now I will let Otavio and the team to talk about the other issues. Okay, a lot of questions, a lot of answers. The items that we highlight as extraordinary, non-recurring regarding COVID, and that we use to calculate the adjusted EBITDA are the items that are not invoiced by the company. We do not have the reimbursement from the pain. So the share of revenue by the COVID-19 patients about the expenses that occurred in regards to, the quarter, the RSU, we have gathered the taxes and the labor costs, and we do not expect in this quarter an extraordinarily recurring impact. Remembering that we also incur into expenses of profit sharing for the people that are higher than the provisioning that we, for the fiscal year that we are, in regards for 2020. This is due to the dedication that is not questionable of all of the workers of the company. Last but not least, Cepeda. I do not know the number of surgeries, high complexity ones, but just to show you, this is very interesting, which is using the operational flows all throughout time. We do not want to provide that granularity to the investors in a recurrent way. Once again, the KPIs, they have good things and bad things. Either they are good or bad. And it all depends on how we use them. So not all of the details has the granularity that we will report in a recurring way. We will report, of course, the information as we think that it helps the beneficiaries from the balance sheets so they can have a better understanding of the operational results, financial results of the company. Okay. Thank you. it was maybe a proxy better than beds for the revenue and the ticket, a proxy that is more related to the generation of revenue. But regardless, thank you very much. We will talk about this Cepeda. We always have a good relationship with you. Once again, we interact during the IPO. We discussed the pricing model to give more sustainability for the sector. And here, obviously, we have the question, well, where do we get this revenue growth? It comes from the number of complex procedures that are being done by the company. The good news is that the dynamics is present. Quarter by quarter, the number of complex surgeries has increased is 6%. Thank you. Now, next question will be from Vinicius Ribeiro from UBS. Vinicius. Hello. Thank you. I have two questions. Just to talk about the issue of the non-recurrent, it's something that I would understand. There was a demobilization of resources, assets. I just wanted to understand that this means that you closed operational beds during the quarter. So can we expect that there was more beds than the 8788 that you've shown, or is it something else? And if your idea is to occupy these collective beds. Now, another question about the infusion ticket. I know it represents very little from your revenue, but when we compare it to the previous quarter, there was a significant increase. So I just wanted to understand, what should we expect up ahead? Thanks for the question. All right, let's talk about the expenses. The subcontracted expenses in the end of the first quarter when the pandemic was taking place in the beginning and they were recognized by accounting, there is no closing of operational beds. As it was said in the presentation, we increased the rate of operational beds even in comparison to the first quarter. And we had the record results of the company. What we had also is the elimination of subcontracted additional workforce, subcontracted at the end of the first quarter when the first wave was manifesting itself. Now, as the time goes by, the number of COVID-19 decreases in our units, we expect that these are non-recurrent expenses in the future. Thank you very much. Well, the second point about the infusion oncology, if you can comment a little bit on that, what can we expect on that? What is the baseline that we should consider? This is along the lines of the long-term modeling of the company. We have an increase of 9%. This is on the long term that we shared in the IPO. But if you can give us more qualitative things about this, well, from an update that I got from the president of oncology, and we have a number of new drugs to be launched, and this influences, of course, the dynamics of the tickets by infusion for chemotherapy. It is difficult to see the impact on the long term for the new drugs. But if you wanted a more short to medium term, that dynamic of the increase of tickets is higher than the ticket and other services, medical services, and they will continue to happen. This dynamic is very important. Well, the launch of new drugs and therapies. Well, let me just talk about the quarter. In the second quarter, the infusion average was 8,400, and it was lower in the second quarter. But there might be a mix issue. So what are the two parameters that we should consider for the rest of the year? And what is the baseline that we should assume for the long term? About the ticket detail, well, the 10.8 is an increase quarter on quarter of the previous fiscal year, absolutely aligned with the long-term model of the company. Now, this quarter against the previous quarter, the increase of ticket is 7-8%. I just wanted to understand if there was a specific thing, but this is clear. So, if I was in your position, I would continue to model the 10% of increase of ticket year on year, which is what the company uses. Thank you. Very well. Remember that to ask a question, you just need to type asterisk sign in your phone. If there are no more questions, we close the Q&A session. Therefore, we return the floor to Paulo Moll. Please. Once again, thank you for your participation. Our investor relations team will be available should you have the need to talk about this other issues, and thank you for your time. Therefore, the audio conference of Rede D'Or São Luiz is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day.